Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Mark as we return to the Gospel of Mark, where we have been for quite a few months, but then we took a couple months break to think about the church, intentionally thinking about who the church is by God's description, what our identity is in this world, and then looking at a few of the applications of that in church life. So now we return to the Gospel of Mark, where I'm looking forward to, again, seeing on a weekly basis the Lord Jesus and his grace and mercy and power, and just be drawn to a greater love for him. Since three of the Gospels refer to this account of Jesus healing the blind beggars, I want to read a harmony of that before we dive into Mark's abbreviated and a little more focused account on the healing of one of those two beggars. Now they came to Jericho. Then it happened, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two men were sitting by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, saying, "Jesus, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." So Jesus stood still and commanded them to be called and brought to him. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, Bartimaeus rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him and his fellow beggar, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, Rabboni, that our eyes may be opened, that we may receive our sight." So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. Then Jesus said, "Receive your sight. Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him on the road, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. That was a blending of three of the gospel writers to give a fuller picture of the account. But I want you to take note of verse 52 in Mark 10, where Jesus says to blind Bartimaeus, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." That phrase, "your faith has made you well," actually means your faith has saved you. So this means not only had the blind man received his sight or regained sight that he had once had, but he received the greatest gift of all. His soul was saved. His spiritual eyes had been opened. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. The imagery of being blind, but now being able to see, is a powerful picture of the work of the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. The Bible often describes man's sinful state as being that of darkness. This spiritual darkness is both inherited and willful. Apart from a saving work of grace from God, this darkness holds men and women captive. Our hearts also naturally love the darkness of sin until the light of the gospel breaks through. The Gospel of John says this love of darkness prevents some from coming to Christ for salvation. John writes, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." It is man's inherent attraction to sin that keeps him blind, that prevents him from seeing the truth, that keeps him from coming to Christ for salvation. Like Gollum is inherently drawn to the power of the ring, so our hearts are drawn to the power of sin. It's our nature. The Apostle Paul teaches that Satan delights to keep people in this darkness. In fact, he works overtime to keep the light of biblical truth from coming into people's minds. It says in Corinthians, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers." Blinded. This is an active work of the enemy, trying to keep people from knowing the freedom that can only be found in Christ. He has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Satan prevents unbelievers from seeing the beauty, the glory of Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. But when God breaks through our spiritual darkness with the light of Christ, the Bible says we are immediately delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. At the moment of salvation, there is a transfer that takes place out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Once we were blind, but now we can see. Therefore, we now serve Christ as his lights in this world. In the book of Ephesians, the apostle says this transfer into the kingdom of light is now the basis for God's call to us to live differently than the rest of the world. Ephesians describes this shift away from practicing sin to following Christ this way. "Therefore, do not become partakers with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." This is the spiritual reality that is revealed through the physical and spiritual healing of this blind Bartimaeus. And this is what God wants to draw your attention to this morning. In the healing of a blind beggar, God wants to open your eyes to simple yet profound and life-altering truths. Perhaps for you it will be for the first time, and you will see Christ in a whole new light. For others, perhaps these truths will reignite the fire of a love for Christ that has grown cold and dim. There are four truths that God wants you to hear and apply this morning. First, to move from darkness to light, you must admit your spiritual need through a persistent cry for mercy. You must come to the place where you yourself personally admit your need. You are aware of your desperate need, and you cry out to God for mercy. Verse 46 says that this miraculous healing took place in Jericho. It says, verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. Now, at this time, there were two Jerichos. There was the old Jericho, and there was a new Jericho built by the Herodians. So, as Jesus and his disciples were traveling on the same road that leads out of the old Jericho and into the new, they encountered this massive crowd of people. And along the roadside were two blind men. Mark draws our attention only to one of them. He draws our attention to Bartimaeus, probably the most vocal of the two. His friends probably called him Bart. And he's sitting there by the roadside, as beggars would do. This is a highly traveled road. It was a great road for blind beggars to sit alongside because it was highly traveled. It was in a semi-tropical climate, below sea level. It was a favorite resort area. Its fertile surroundings made it the center of rich agriculture. And this, together with its location on the main highway, made it a lucrative tax collection center. So what a great place for helpless, blind beggars to position themselves. The road was known for its busy traffic. And Bartimaeus knew about Jesus. Verse 47 says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. So by this time, everyone in the area had heard about Jesus. He has been healing. He has been performing so many different miracles. But Bartimaeus knew of Jesus, and he knew that there was hope for him. Being blind, his sense of hearing was surely more in tune than others. It seems that God had graciously used his physical blindness to cause his heart to be more sensitive, more open to hearing the good news about Jesus. His heart had been prepared by God for this moment. And so when he heard that the presence of Jesus of Nazareth was the cause of all of this commotion, hope sprang into his soul. Why is that? Well, because he knew he was blind. Blind people know that they cannot see. Blind people know they need light. Blind people know they need someone to turn the light on for them. And so it is for each one of us. Before we can see with clear eyes, we must admit that we are blind. Before a person can get saved, they must get lost. Before a person will turn to the Lord Jesus as Savior and Lord, they must realize their sinfulness and their need of the Savior. Before they will turn to Jesus and look to Him as Lord, they must come to the place where they realize that every path they've ever chosen in life has led to a dead end. The inner peace they were seeking has not been found. He must come to the end of himself and cry out to God for mercy. We see that in Bartimaeus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He began to cry out, it says in verse 47. The language in the original actually means he kept on crying out repeatedly and loudly. That's why verse 48 says, many rebuked him, telling him, shut up. Basically, maybe Jesus was trying to teach and they couldn't hear, maybe. Maybe they were just annoyed by this man. They told him to be silent. But he cried out all the more. Persistent faith. Son of God, have mercy on me. That's a simple cry to God. That's a simple cry to Christ for salvation. It's the cry that every one of us must bring to the Lord, the cry that must flow from our hearts if we are to know the Lord Jesus, if we are to know the assurance that our souls are at peace with God. And when that happens, we become a child of God. See, only Bartimaeus could cry out to Jesus for himself. Other people could cry out for him in the sense of praying for him and pointing him to Jesus, but only he could cry out to Jesus. Did you know that God has no grandchildren? He only has children. What does that mean? It means that you are not going to become a Christian because your parents are a Christian. Each one of us as individuals has to come to this place of recognizing without Christ, there's no hope for us. And admit to Him how desperate we are and cry out to Him for mercy because Jesus is a Savior who is overflowing with mercy. There's a second truth that God wants you to hear and apply this morning. To move from darkness to light, you must affirm the authority and biblical identity of Christ. You have to come to the right Jesus in order to be saved. In other words, you have to come to the Jesus of the Bible, not a Jesus that you invent. And this is a Jesus who has the full authority of God because he is God. Look at verse 47 and 48. What does Bartimaeus say? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David is a messianic title. Son of David means he is acknowledging Jesus of Nazareth that he has been hearing all about and who is now walking on the road and is standing right there in front of me. Can't see him, but with the eyes of his heart, God is enabling him to see him for who he is, and he cries out to him as Messiah. You are Messiah. You are the promised one. You are the Savior. You are my Savior. That's what he was crying out. You are Lord. Embracing the full identity of the biblical Jesus as Savior and Lord is a prerequisite to being saved. You can't make up your own Jesus and then cry out to him. You've got to come to the Jesus of the Bible. When the Philippian jailer fell down before Paul and Silas in Acts 16, he asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." The Lord Jesus, that's a position of authority. It's his identity. 1 John 5, verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. So the words that are flowing from this man's mouth are evidence that the Spirit of God is at work in his heart, causing him to see, not physically, but spiritually, the biblical identity of Jesus and to recognize that only this Jesus can meet my every need. There's a third truth. A third truth that God wants you to hear and apply. You must act upon the call of Christ through repentance and faith. You must act upon the call of Christ. Look what it says in verse 49. And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So don't miss this simple but profound reality in verse 49. The call comes from Christ, but the call comes through typical people. Do you see that? Jesus stopped and said, "Call them." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." I think the Holy Spirit left us that through Mark to remind us that nobody in this world, our unsaved friends and family and coworkers who do not know Jesus, none of them are going to get saved without someone telling them who Jesus is. And that he is calling them. And what a beautiful and simple method of evangelism this is to someone who is finally coming to the end of themselves and realizing the royal mess they've made of their life and they don't know where to turn. And you can simply say to them, "Take heart, Jesus is calling you." Wow. So the call is coming from Jesus. Other scriptures would say then it's through the Spirit of Jesus that this call comes to the heart. And he acted upon it. He responded to this call. Look at verse 50. Throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. I mean, there was an immediate response. He throws off his cloak so that he can run. I mean, imagine this. A blind man running toward Jesus, graciously being helped by some of his friends. His friends loving him enough to lead him to Jesus. We were at a camp a couple summers ago, ministering. Johnny and friends, family retreat, families affected by disabilities, and the pianist for the week during all of our worship services was blind. And she just shared such a simple truth, as some people were asking, why does your friend walk in front of you and you put your hand on their shoulder? Why don't they just grab your hand and you can follow them? And she said, "Because if I walk next to them, I don't know what's in front of me. There might be a chair in front of me that I might trip over. But I have such great assurance that when my hand is on the shoulder of my friend in front of me, I'm just following my friend, and I won't trip and fall. And that's what these friends are doing for this blind beggar. They're bringing him to Jesus. And there he meets the Savior that he needs. What a beautiful picture of evangelism, of loving people enough to bring them to Christ. He throws off his cloak. He goes to Jesus. What a beautiful picture of repentance that is. When we come to Christ, we throw off the cloak of our old life and we come to Jesus. Verse 51, Jesus asks the question, "What do you want me to do for you?" And clearly, Jesus is the all-knowing God. So he's not doing this because he lacks information. He knows what the man needs, but he is soliciting from his heart and his mouth a profession of faith, a confession of need. He wants to bring this man to the place of fully acknowledging, "This is what I need you to do for me, Jesus." And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi," or "My master," or "Lord, let me recover my sight." So from this we conclude that he's different than the man in John 9 who was born blind. This man was seeing at one time, and perhaps he got some kind of a degenerative eye disorder, disease, or some accident that took his sight from him. "Let me recover my sight." He's acknowledging his need. He's acting upon the call of Christ through repentance and faith. And that's what we must do. The Spirit of God calls to our hearts through the word, through the gospel, calling us to repent, calling us to turn away from our sin and to embrace Jesus as our new master. We come to the point of saying, "I'm sick and tired of being my own master. It never works. I need Jesus to be my master. I need him to forgive me of all my sins." And there's a fourth truth then that God wants you to hear and apply. To move from darkness to light, you must abide with Christ as an obedient disciple. And Jesus said to him, verse 52, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." That phrase means, your faith has saved you completely. So it's Christ who has saved this man completely, but it's been through faith that the work has been received. There's a wholeness and an inner wellness that can only come to us through knowing Christ. Isn't that beautiful? That God doesn't just care about our souls. He doesn't just say, "Oh, I'm just going to care about your soul in the sense of saving it for eternity." But when Jesus is our Lord and Savior and the Spirit of God is at work within us, there is an inner wholeness and wellness that he brings in increasingly growing wholeness and sense of inner wellness. The wellness, the wholeness that the world is searching for and running in 1,000 different directions trying to find is found only in Christ. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. That means he became a disciple of Christ. Followed Christ as an obedient disciple. Abiding with Christ. It wasn't just a thanks for the free ticket to heaven, Jesus. I'll put it in my back pocket and now I'll go on living the same way I've always lived. No. He follows a new master, a new Lord. Let me give you a couple takeaways here, because I realize that every time we have a public gathering like this, it's likely that it's a mixed crowd, that we have some here who have not yet come to know Jesus in the way that is described here this morning, and others who perhaps have known him for some time. So first, if you're not yet a believer in Christ, let me encourage you to do this. Ask God to open your heart. Ask God to open the eyes of your heart to the truth of the gospel. And then read the Gospel of John. Spend some time reading through the Gospel of John while you're asking God, open my eyes to see who Jesus is and why I am commanded to embrace him. Look to Jesus. If you're already a believer in Christ, then recognize that we don't yet fully see as clearly as God sees. We see dimly, Paul says in Corinthians. We don't yet see everything crystal clear. Read and study Scripture. Pray to have the eyes of your heart enlightened, as Paul prayed for the Ephesian church, and to grow in knowledge and all discernment so that you may approve what is excellent. That's how he prayed for the Philippian believers. So recognize that even though at the moment of our salvation, God lifted the blinds, so to speak, and opened the curtains, and we saw, because of the light of the gospel, we saw Christ and embraced him. The effects of the fall upon our minds means that we still have a lot of growing to do. So never stop praying and studying God's word and asking him to open the eyes of your heart, to give you knowledge, to give you discernment. Through the healing of this blind man, there is such profound truth for us. There is hope for us who know Christ that we can continue to grow in knowledge and discernment. There is encouragement for us to be like the people in the crowd who went and called the blind man and said to him, Jesus is calling you. Take heart, Jesus is calling you. And if you're here this morning and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ in this way, let me say to you, take heart, Jesus is calling you. Look to him. Look to him, and he will save you. Father, we thank you and praise you for the crystal clarity of your word. We thank you for the light of the gospel that has broken through the darkness of our sin. We thank you for your word, which is a light for us. It is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And Father, whatever our need is this morning for each person here, I pray that your Spirit would take this word and continue to use it to accomplish your work. Work that will bring Christ the utmost glory and honor. In his name we pray. Amen.